ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, The Appearance of Shri Narada.
What's the chapter again, please?
4. Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text 18. The great sage, who was fully equipped in knowledge, could see, through his transcendental vision, the deterioration of everything material due to the influence of the age. He could also see that the faithless people in general would be reduced in duration of life and would be impatient due to lack of goodness. Thus he contemplated for the welfare of men in all statuses and orders of life. Respond. Srila Vyasadeva, who is the author, you can say, or the compiler of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada is not the author. He has translated this Srimad Bhagavatam into English, and he's given these purports. We're going to read the purport here in a minute. But the compiler, or the original author, you can say, was Srila Vyasadeva. So this verse is spoken by someone else about him. This is the beginning. So it's spoken by Sudha Goswami, or Sukadeva Goswami. Who's speaking? Sudha Goswami, right. So he's telling about the author, and this is also being recorded in the book. So what is the nature of the author? He said, this was compiled 5,000 years ago, so he could see, with his transcendental vision, he could see that the future, the people would become more degraded. This is just like we have in our seasons, we have different changes, right? Now the winter is coming, we know that tomorrow it's not going to be 100 degrees outside, because it's December. So it's a season, and then the spring will come, then the summer. Similarly, the ages are also sequenced like that. The beginning with Satyayuga means very pious. People are very in the mode of goodness. Religion is natural. Everyone is following principles of religion. Then gradually it reduces, Treta-yuga. There's four principles of religion, cleanliness, austerity, mercy, truthfulness. So gradually they become reduced, Treta-yuga, then Dwapara-yuga, and this is the Kali-yuga. This is the considered as the most degraded age, where people are not interested in God, really. They're interested in sex life or sense gratification or something. But he was speaking this just when the age was changing, from Dwapara-yuga to Kali-yuga. So he could see what was coming, what was foretold. Just like we can see now, we should buy a winter coat because winter is coming. It wasn't that he was, a prophet in that sense, because it was already predicted that this is going to happen. So, but he was giving the remedy. He was giving the remedy. Here's just like we know, the rainy season's coming, just like in California. We just came from California. I happened to look at this morning at the weather for San Francisco. It's going to be raining the next 4 days. This is the rainy season coming. So the rainy season comes, then you wear an umbrella. You carry an umbrella. Wherever you go, you carry an umbrella because you want to be prepared. So similarly, this is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means there's always quarrel and hypocrisy. People are cheating each other and cheating themselves. This is the worst, that we cheat ourselves. So therefore, this Vyasadeva, he's compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam just to give us an umbrella, a chance to take shelter in this age, which is otherwise full of confusion and quarrel and so on. So what does Srila Prabhupada say? The condition, the unmanifested forces of time. So this is the goal of every sincere transcendentalist. They want to help people out of this predicament. The predicament is that we're not meant to suffer this old age and disease and death. This is like the symptom of a disease. Just like if you have a fever in your body, you know there's something wrong. So you go to the physician. The physician says, oh, you may have malaria, like one of our members. He came from India. He had malaria, which he carried with him because there's some incubation period. It takes a while for it to become manifest. Then he was here in North Carolina, suddenly he had malaria. He had to go to the hospital. The five or six doctors were coming. They never saw anybody with malaria in North Carolina. There's no cases of malaria. So in the same way, we're in a disease condition. What is that symptom of that disease? Like in malaria, you have chills, you get fever, it comes regularly. Certain symptoms are there, so you can know, oh, this is malaria. So the symptom of the disease, the present disease, is that we have this body. This body is a symptom that we're in a disease condition. Not that we hate the body in any way. just like, but we know that anybody who has a body has to suffer and has to die. So this is actually foreign to the soul. The soul is not meant to die. The soul is eternal. It's always existing, always will exist. But because we're identifying with this body as the self, so we think, oh, we're dying. And we just take it as natural. But if one who has a little intelligence, he can see, this is not natural. I don't want to die. Why you don't want to die? Because you're really eternal. You're not meant to die. You're supposed to live forever. You will live forever. You are eternal, foreverly existing. In the past you existed, now you're existing, in the future you'll exist. Then why am I here? Why am I in this temporary world, in this temporary body? Yes, you're here because you made a mistake. You misused your independence. Instead of agreeing to serve God, you wanted to serve yourself. You wanted to put yourself in the center. So God kindly gives you this arrangement. Okay, you want to imagine that you're God. Here you can come to this material world. But actually, the material world is a place for criminals. But it's arranged by the Lord so that the criminal can get out. He's not a cruel God. He doesn't keep us here forever and ever. He keeps us here until we realize that we don't belong here. Then we can go back to the spiritual world. So that realization is what we should try to accomplish in our own heart, and we should try to give it to others. We should encourage them to see that this is not your real home. Neither this house is your real home, nor this body is your real home. Then what is my real home? My real home is in the spiritual world, where I have eternal life full of knowledge and bliss. And how do I get from here to there? It's very simple. You came here by desire, and you can go back by desire. But if you really desire, if you're serious about desire, then what is the process here, Prabhupada says? The unfortunate men are always reluctant to give reception to the transcendentalists who are representatives of Srila Vyasadeva. In other words, they don't want to hear about this. This is at the bottom of it. They don't want to hear about the message of God. It's because they're unfortunate. So those who are serious, or those who are fortunate, they'll be eager to hear. This is the price. Morning time is best because the message can go in deeper. And what is that message? Yeah, the message is we should hear this subject matter regularly. Therefore, we have so many tapes. Like when I'm in my car, we have tapes of Srila Prabhupada's lecture. We put in the tape. We listen to while we're driving and during the day, whatever. This is the most important way to make spiritual advancement, to hear. But the problem is we don't like to hear. We like to talk. When Srila Prabhupada was first coming to his spiritual master, noted, he said, this boy likes to hear. Others were going there, said, but he was appreciating. This was Srila Prabhupada's qualification, that he was eager to hear till he understood it properly. That we were making this point last night about we can collect so many books, we can read so many books, but we may not understand. The best way to understand is to hear, and then to question about the subject matter, not to bring something else, but to question about what's being discussed. This is called hearing and explaining. This is the most powerful process to become free from doubt. If we're honest, we'll have to admit we're always doubtful here in this world. Is there God? Why is he doing like this? Why does he show himself to me? There's always going to be some doubts. So to remove those doubts, we have to question. And the questions have to be pertinent. Not just to be a question about some, you know, what's the weather going to be? So, no, we should hear. And then if everything is clear to us, then the question should be, okay, it's clear what you're saying. Then the question should be, what is my service? What should I do? How can I serve you? That should be our question. And if it's not clear, then we should question. You said this, I don't understand that. Well, how is that? Until all the doubts are removed. This is the process. Tadviri pranipasena. That we should hear and question and render service also. Because just like in the traditional, like the teacher, the student would come and bring an apple or something. The mood would be, yeah, I'm a student and you're the teacher, I came to hear from you, and I'm not going to throw spitballs at you or something like we learned how to do in school, but I'm going to respect you because you have something valuable to give me, and so I come with a little respectful mood, a little humble mood, to not to challenge. Oh, what do you know? You don't know better than me. You're a stupid teacher. Like a lot of times we felt that way about our teachers. That's the unfortunate thing. They were cheating. They weren't really teachers. But if we find a real teacher who can give us the proper knowledge that will set us free, that will get us out of this predicament that everyone faces in this material world. This brings us back to the problem again, that we have these bodies and minds, and there's always a struggle. Like you said, you had a problem last night. Everybody has a problem. Exactly. With some kind of disease, some kind of, you can say, misery from other living entities. Someone else, I was in the car yesterday, nice brand new car behind me, or late model car, a good-looking man with his shirt and tie and everything, and is left to him his wife, and I see they're having an argument. And the wife looks so miserable. And she was berating him, and he was driving the car. I'm looking in the rear view mirror. So in other words, my point is, you may have a particular problem with whatever it is that you have, some seizure or something. Somebody else has a problem with their wife. That can be hellish. It can make your life hellish. Somebody else has a problem with the no electricity. Somebody else has a problem with the boss. The boss is always, lording it over them. The problems are always going to be here until we get out of this situation. So we should take impetus from this. We shouldn't think, oh, well, these problems are good, so then we can enjoy it. No, we should say that this is a symptom of our disease. And then we'll be eager to hear from the persons who can relieve us from this disease. So Vyasadeva was such a person. He saw that the people were going to be suffering more and more. So he gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is considered to us the cream of the Vedic literature. The spotless Purana. It's called spotless. It begins from the very pure point of kicking out all so-called religion, which has a cheating propensity. Because in the name of God, you can also cheat. But the Bhagavatam kicks out all that propensity, and it brings us right to the point of pure devotion. This is the essence of religion, that we should be purely devoted to God without any ulterior motive, but just simply with the mood to satisfy Him. So this is the Bhagavatam. It's the postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita. It's more advanced than Bhagavad Gita. But that's why I'm saying we should understand Bhagavad Gita carefully, then we go to the next. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is even a postgraduate study. We're even more advanced.
Kind of like prerequisite in college.
Yeah, so if you have a question then about what we're talking, or some comment about the subject that can enhance the mood here or the direction that we're going in. The direction is we're bringing people to become pure devotees of God. Okay. Krishna has a question?
No, Maharaj.
Well, I have a question. The question would be, if this is a universal principle, it's open to everybody, and everybody can benefit by it, why do more people don't come to benefit by it? Bishop John, what's your answer? Why it's not more popular?
Because most of the people, they go for sense gratification.
They like the illusion.
Unconsciously, they like the illusion.
Yeah. And why is they like that illusion? Because it gives them the foolish notion, or they can entertain the foolish notion that they're the supreme somehow, that they're the enjoyer, that they're the controller, that they're the Lord in some way. They're competing with God. And when we tell them that, no, you should completely surrender to God 100%, then they balk at that. They think, oh, this is too much. How can we do that? No, that they will lose our freedom. We won't be able to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. And in America especially, everybody wants freedom, so why should we take up this problem? This sounds like slavery. We have to just do what God wants all the time? All the time? 24 hours a day? 7 days a week? And so they say, no, it's too much. I'm not. I want to be independent. I want to do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. But we say that desire to be independent is really keeping you enslaved, because you never can be independent. Instead of, you may imagine that you're independent, but really you're the slave of your senses. You're the slave of your mind. Instead of being a voluntary servant of God, you become a slave of your own lower nature. It's pushing you, because there's 6 kind of pushes. The pushing of the mind. The mind is pushing you, oh, do this, do that. the pushing of anger. You become angry. You can't tolerate it. You can't stop being angry. It just comes out more and more. You become talkative. You can't control your tongue. You put your foot in your mouth all the time. And then the same happens again. And 5 years later, the same thing again. You make the same mistake, just like now in the politics. This Trent Lott, the Republican majority leader, senator in the biggest position practically. But he made the same mistake. He did it before. He started preaching against the civil rights or against integration. And now he's in trouble. He's going to probably have to resign or whatever. Because the tongue, it gets us in trouble. It's pushing us. Oh, speak this, speak that. And then we become fools by our tongue. And what is the next after the tongue? Is it's got two functions. We're tasting. We see so many fat people. They can't stop eating because they want to taste something. And even though it's hurting them, they go on eating. And then their belly gets too big. The belly is also pushing. Eat more. They become overweight and they die young because they can't control their belly. And then the genital is pushing. Oh, there's somebody else's wife. Oh, but I can get her. And then we make trouble for ourselves. So my point is, we don't want to be a slave of God or a servant of God, because it's not a slave. He's not looking for a slave. He's looking for happy servants that he can reciprocate with, because that's our natural position. Just like the hand is naturally serving the body. If I tell the hand, pick up this glass, put it on your hand, it will do, because it's connected. Similarly, we're connected with God. Our serving God is natural. But people think, oh no, I don't want it. I want to be independent. But there's no independence. You think you're independent, but you become a slave of your lower nature. These different functions are pushing you, and you're not independent. You're just imagining you're independent. Therefore, we should become willingly servants of God. This is what we're preaching, and it's not sectarian. You can tell your Christian friends, and I'll even tell you. Mm-hmm. You should become, you know, you have to decide. You want to become a Hare Krishna, or you want to become a better Christian? If you want to become a better Christian, we'll offer you all respects. But then you should go into it more deeply. You should find people who are really serious about it. Associate with them. Go to the church regularly and take it up. Because this is the most important thing. In the, not that you make money and live in a big house or something. The most important thing is to make a connection with God. If you come here, we can try to help you. If you go to the church, they'll also try to help you. We're not sectarian. But you should decide. I want to be a Hare Krishna, or I want to be a Christian. I want to be a better Christian. Because it's natural. You're going to associate with those who have faith. If you have a strong faith in Jesus, I don't want to disturb that faith. But you should associate with those who have a similar faith, mm-hmm. and who can encourage you in that way. Because we're not going to quote from the Bible here.
Yeah.
We don't study the Bible. We have our Bible here, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita.
I enjoy this.
Yeah, so then you should, take it
can
seriously.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
One of the problems I always had... I was raised in a nice family, like we're talking about yesterday, and I was raised to be ethical, and we were spanked when we misbehaved ourselves, and we were loved and taught to live ethical lives and everything. But one thing I always had difficulty, I always had difficulty with women, because they always thought that somewhere that
everybody has difficulty with women, brother. Everybody.
Really. It's like somewhere this didn't get where went the bliss. Like,
and women have difficulty with men. I mean, there's a tension there. This is the binding principle of material life. It's the most attractive feature. You see, we want to enjoy. So, in the pleasure of the genital is the strongest, the most intense pleasure is there in the genital. So naturally, we're attracted. At the same time, we're repulsed because women are different than men. And so they're going to speak differently, they're going to think differently, and we think, why are they so stupid? Why are they thinking like that? But at the same time, we're attracted. We're attracted and repulsed. But this is the nature, and it becomes more intense with women.
What is the word repulsed, excuse me?
Repulsed means... Ugh.
Rejected.
Not rejected. You're attracted. Repulsed means the opposite of attracted. You're attracted to something, oh, how beautiful. And you're repulsed, ooh, how ugly. That's repulsion.
And we have a lot, yeah, and that's the reason why we have the high date rates. I mean, high divorce rates today and everything. You
that's right.
Very high divorce rates today.
Just like I said, I saw this guy in the car. I saw his face.
Yeah.
He's disgusted. He's got this woman nagging at him. And I could see it just by looking at his face. He was, what to do? He's married. He's got a... It's difficult.
We all, to a certain degree, well, I don't speak for myself, or sexual person, but I'm also a very affectionate type person.
Yeah, so therefore we recommend marriage.
So we get, you know, I look for, you know, the affectionate side of women, but if you ever look for, oh, I don't know if you guys have been through this, have you ever, and this, again, here, due respect to, you know, everybody's privacy and everything, have you ever found a woman that you are affectionately attracted to as well? Well, natural looks coming, but you wanted somebody to love and take care
of.
Yeah,
so that's natural. I mean,
and then you find out it wasn't the right thing, or they find out.
Then you should learn from that. In other words, if you want to find a woman, we can help you. But first you should understand, what is this process we're doing here?
It's also, was it compatibility also?
Yeah, so that those things will come out naturally.
Yeah.
But the first point is, you should understand that you're not this body. Then you can deal with the woman more in a more detached way. You see, if you identify with your maleness too much, then you become, you can say, very much addicted to woman, because she's the only one who can satisfy you, who can relieve you from the pushing of the genital. But if you learn to step back a little bit and see, yeah, the genital is pushing me, the eyes are attracted to the form of the woman, and the hands want to touch the breast of the woman. That's there, but I'm not those things. Let me become a little aloof from that. The best way to become aloof from that is to chant Hare Krishna.
Okay.
We have our beads, especially. So then when you learn how to be a little aloof, then when you do enter into marriage, we don't say you can't become married, but you'll be able to to control the situation better.
Love takes time. It just seems today, Trouble, not to...
No, we're talking about love. We're talking about, first of all, that in order for you to deal with a woman, you have to be able to control her to some degree.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, she'll control you. And it's not a control out of hatred or out of some sadistic desire to dominate her. But you have to control her naturally, because a woman needs to be protected. Her nature is, she's even more lusty than you are. And she needs a man more than you need a woman. This is their nature. They really need a man, because they want to be protected, they want children, they want money to come in. So without having a good man, they'll feel frustrated in life. At the end of life, when they're old, they have no children, no grandchildren, they won't be happy. So they see, oh yes, I love children. You ever see a woman, how... You bring a small child in with a group of women, they all come over, oh, look at how cute. Oh, yeah, what a beautiful baby.
And children of
Yeah, they love that. Yeah. That's what they want. So they need sex life and man more than you even need them. But you can't understand that, because you become bewildered in their association. So what we have to do is associate first for some time with the brahmacharis, those who are practicing to be celibate, like we are. Then, gradually, you'll be able to see, oh, what is this desire I have? Yes. The desire is natural. I should also have children. That's natural. But I should do it in a proper way, not like a cats and dogs on the street. I should have sex life at a proper time with a proper married woman, and to get good children. Then the atmosphere becomes nice, and the woman will feel protected. But if we go in like equal, then she'll control us, because they're very powerful and very intelligent how to exploit a man. This is their, from the very beginning, they're learning how to bat their eyes and be attractive and attract the man. So on this platform, they're more expert than men. So the man has to come from a stronger position. The man has to be spiritually orientated. Then he can guide. The Christian says the same thing. The wife is supposed to obey, to love, honor, and obey.
Exactly.
But how is she going to obey you if she sees that you're addicted to her body? Then she's going to say, well, why should I obey this guy? He's like a dog. He wants to lick my vagina. He's not a spiritual man.
Exactly.
So we have to come above this bodily demand somewhat, learn how to be peaceful in ourselves, then we can take a wife, just like Vishwajan is ready to take a wife. He's been a brahmachari for so many years. Now he's ready to get married.
Oh, okay.
So we're not saying...
Well, see, I'm not in a hurry.
So yeah, that's good. Okay, so you come and understand this. We're going to let you go now. We don't want you to be late. Otherwise, Oh, by the way, your friend called up last night, but I missed it. Somehow we were downstairs. He left a message, but he knows you're here, so he's expecting you to miss this one. What's his name?
Ed Tanner.
Ed Tanner. He called.
Thank you very much.
Anytime you want to come, you let us know, you know. You can stay over some time. Maybe we can arrange. Does he let us know before him? Just leave it there.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Hare Krishna.
I enjoyed it.